Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, January the 24th, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And could everybody please star 1 to mute your phone so we can have a nice quiet line? I would appreciate that. Thank you so much, because I heard some coughing back there. So today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 6 on page 85 in Into Action, starting with the first paragraph beginning with, "It is easy to let up." We'll be reading this one paragraph only, and it ends in, "It is the proper use of the will." We'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Don B. for the 12 Steps, Jerry L. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Pam M., Jordan L., and Julie E.B. Our newcomer greeter today is Kaylee R. and Reggie O. for announcements, and Lynn S. is recording our meeting today. Thank you, Lynn. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, January the 23rd, 2020, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,018. That's 14,018. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, January 24th, 2020, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,021. That's 14,021. OA Preamble. Our Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Don B. to read the 12 steps of OA. Don, good morning.
Good morning. This is Don B., recovered from Southern California, the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
And thank you, Don B. And now we're here from Jerry L., and she'll read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Jerry L.
Good morning. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
And thank you, Jerry L., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 85, paragraph 1, and we'll be commenting on this one paragraph. It starts with, it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action, and it ends with, it is the proper use of the will. And so now Pam M. will start reading. Pam?
Blessed morning, fellows. This is Pam M. in upstate New York, in the Adirondack Mountains. Recovered for today. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. Let me get my timer going. So, it's all too easy to rest on our laurels. I had a relapse last year because I wasn't keeping spiritually fit, and I had a million excuses for why it wasn't working for me. It's the holidays, I'm busy, yada, yada. I knew I was in trouble, but that didn't stop me from doing my 10 steps as I should. So I found myself looking down a barrel of sugar-free chocolate, and I ate the whole box, and that continued for 6 weeks. Today I have a daily reprieve contingent on spiritual maintenance and growth. Morning and evening prayers and meditation are a requirement for my recovery. I must be willing to do my spot checks or 10 steps. It seems that those two words are used interchangeably. I must be willing to do that inventory on demand according to my emotions or whatever craziness is being presented into my mind at the moment. That is part of my surrendering to my will. Steps 10 and 11, as we're about to read, teach me that I have to be open to God's will and to surrender my plans daily. So last night and this morning, I was gifted with a memory from 8 years ago. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm not a drunk, but in this particular case, I had a couple too many, and I wound up ruining one of my friend's walls. And he mentioned in passing that he lost part of his rental deposit because of my behavior. You know, and I'm a little ashamed that, you know, this is 10 years, almost 10 years ago that's happening, but it's still here. So it's not my job to decide when things come up and when I should be handling things. Apparently, God wants me to take care of this now. And yes, it's inconvenient to my ego and to my plans that I have to stop and I have to do a 10 step and I have to call a fellow, and, you know, but I wind up in the end really turning things around, and it's dependent, my spiritual dependent is dependent on this. I can't see God, so God communicates with me through my thoughts and my emotions, pulls my heartstrings, and I know if I ignore it, I wind up wallowing in self-pity, nobody likes me, I'm never going to have friends, I'm not good enough, or I can make that choice to rise up and be, act like a spiritual being, and that is God's will for me. And to ask, how can I best serve thee? How can I best serve my friend that I injured financially? And so, you know, and I, it's not up for me to decide, why is this happening now? Maybe my friend needs money, or maybe he needs a new faith in humanity. It's not for me to decide, but this is the proper use of my will to serve the divine. So I'm looking forward to hearing how this shows up in your life. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Pam, for getting us started, Pam M. And who would like to share on this paragraph? So again, we're on page 85. The first paragraph is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action, reading through that one paragraph only, ending in, it is the proper use of the will. Who would like to share this morning?
Loretta A.
Kara L.
Okay, I heard Loretta A. I think I heard Kara L.
Lynette.
E.B.
Okay, I heard Lynn S.
Donna
B. Carolyn
S.
Okay, hold on.
Lynette.
Julie.
I'm sorry, you guys, but you're palling up on me here. Okay.
Eileen B.
Okay, I heard Julie E.B. So, Eileen, what I'm going to do is put you on the next round. You'll be first, okay?
Thank you.
Sure. And I'm sorry, whoever else I did not hear, I apologize. Please, we'll take you on the second round. So I have Loretta H., Kara L., Lynn S., Leah S., and Julie E.B. Okay, so Loretta H., please go ahead, and Kara L. will follow. Good morning, Loretta.
Good morning. This is Loretta H., compulsive overeater, anorexic, grace with God's absence for today. And thank you for taking the meeting and everybody who is on this healthy meeting. It's interesting, this morning I was listening to the vision of God's will into our lives. And when I first listened to Vision, which was in 2016, I had two really serious things happen in my life. And I met somebody in the rooms who actually shared that there had been recovered people in this group of Vision. And so I was abstinent with God's grace. I always am. But I actually realized this morning that I had a spiritual experience when I was told about that, because when I am hurting or sad, there was a suicide and my husband was very sick, I go into the not eating anorexic state because that's easier for me to deal with the problem. And so I started listening to this meeting, and it stopped me from the behavior of the anorexia. And it actually gave me hope and faith and all the things that the steps, you know, are about, and the perseverance to move on. And because of that,
I honestly believe you guys are a spiritual experience for me. And I don't think I would have gotten through that time without my God, of course, and without using the big book to direct my life. And I've learned so much, and I'm still learning. And as other people are sharing, the 4 through 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, the maintenance, I have to do that daily, one day at a time. So I'm just grateful for this meeting, for God giving me the grace to find you guys, and for working this program because of the emotional buildup that happens every single day. So thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Loretta H. Tara L., you're up, followed by, I thought it was Lynn S., but there's a Lynn, and we'll find out what your last initial is. Tara L., please go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Tara L., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you for everybody who's doing service and bringing the meeting to us today. I just had the feeling to share this morning, you know, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. And I think, oh, all of my activities? And those of you who've heard me before heard me say, yeah, I have to practice this all the time, because, you know, I've had many years of carrying my will into all of my activities. So how do I carry God's will into all of these activities? And for me, I have to practice. I have to practice. I ask God, you know, what should I have for breakfast? And I put my hand on one thing and I put my hand on another, and whichever one feels intuitively right. I just did it this morning with my tea. You know, which tea do I want this morning? This one or this one? And I just went with what was intuitively right for me. Felt intuitive. And I know, because this morning before I got on the meeting, I did my meditation, and I asked God, you know, I went through my day with God, and I asked God when I got to places for intuition, you know, inspiration, decisions. And so I have to carry that into everything. And I did. I wrote up a couple 10 steps this morning, because when I woke up, because when I went to bed at night, I said, God, let me know anything I need to work on tomorrow. And there are a couple things that came to mind. And so I wrote them up this morning, and I'm going to share them. And, you know, it reminded me that, oh, I'm resentful because in these interactions, I am not asking for God's guidance before I open my mouth. I think I know how to handle them. I says, oh, so I was reminded this morning, oh, before I speak, before I do anything, I say, God, give me an intuitive thought, an inspiration, a decision. Show me how to take this interaction. You know, it's in everything, in all my day. And I know for me, if I work on the small things daily, the little minutiae of my day, bringing God into there, then when the big things come, it's habit. I'm already there. And I'm using, you know, then it's the proper use of my will. So thank you for everybody being here. I can't wait to hear from everyone else. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Tara L. And I believe there's a Lynn, but I don't know the first initial of your last name, Lynn. Is there a Lynn? Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead
Could it be Irene B?
Maybe it is, Irene. Why don't you go ahead? Thank you.
Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B, a very happy, abstinent bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Praise be to God. What a gift that is. And I love this paragraph, because anything that has to do with God is the only experience, strength, and hope that I can share unequivocally. That is my source, my strength, my power, my recovery. That I know without exception. And all I know is that when I am connected to God, I am at peace. I am in serenity. When I surrender my fears to God, I am in peace. All I know is that I love the fear step 10 portion of it. Is it God, were you on God reliance or self-reliance? You know what? The answer is always self-reliance. And if I were on God reliance, then I would have serenity and peace. I can surrender to Him everything that bothers me, everything that hurts me. I can surrender to God all of my heart's yearnings. And I know that step 10 is crucial for my recovery, but the cornerstone of that recovery is in steps 1, 2, and 3, because that's where we're building that relationship with God, so that our relationship with God is solid, and so that we can go to Him and trust Him and know that everything's going to be okay. But how do I do that? I knew that. People used to tell me, my therapist, you need to get in touch with your feelings. Well, everybody tells me that, but they don't tell me how to do it. Okay, the same thing with here. You need to be in fit spiritual condition. You need to connect to God. Okay, fine, I get it, but how do I do it? How do I connect to God? Well, I love the step 10 that makes me pray, because I connect to God when I'm talking to Him. Unfortunately, when I stop praying, God goes away and I'm back on self-reliance. So how do I bring God back into my life? I came across something that I want to share. When you wake up, say, it says, Jesus, I love you, and Jesus is my God, but I will say, higher power, I love you. When leaving the house, say, higher power, come with me. When you feel like crying, say, higher power, hug me. When you feel happy, say, higher power, I adore you. When you do something, say, God, help me. When you make a mistake, say, higher power, forgive me. When you go to sleep, say, thank you, higher power, and cover me with your holy mantle. When you say this prayer to the, okay. So, and for me also is, God, I need you. And that's all I need to say. And with that, I pass. As long as I just say the words, if I can just remember to say the words, I know He will give me the healing that I need. And that's what I hold on to. And that's what keeps me sober. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Irene B. Leah S., you're up, followed by Julie E. B. Leah, good morning.
First of all, thank you so much, moderator. You heard my voice. Thank you. Thank you, everyone who helps make this meeting possible. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered and mending in Brooklyn. We all have our stages in our life, wherever, whatever we do. Actually, each day is a new, blank new page. It's a new beginning. And what is the meaning of spiritual life is not a theory. It has to be lived. Well, I sincerely believe in that, sincerely and utmostly. I had a surgery, and I thought it was just a nothing. And I made it away, and I said, big deal. But when I came out of that surgery and the way I felt, I knew that I was going to have to reach even more to my higher power. Hey, God, please, I'm your old friend, or I'm not your old friend. Make me your friend and help me through this day. Now, when I was incapacitated, what does that spiritual theory mean? It meant that I'm getting up and I'm going out and I pretty much have my day set, whatever I'm going to do. And I'm skipping and hopping and doing things, and thank God that I'm able to do that, and, you know, at my age, blah, 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 whatever. But you know what? When things happen that seem really out of the ordinary, I stop. I stop and I say, how did that happen? And that's when I need to remind myself, you know, dear God, you're with me. Oh, thank you, dear God. You know, it's such a miraculous kind of thing. It's not, it doesn't come all at once. But the more you practice it, the more you can feel even more confident. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Leah S. And before we hear from Julie E.B., just reminding where we're at. We're on page 85, the first paragraph. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action, ending with, it is the proper use of the will. We're going to read that one paragraph only. And when Julie E.B. finishes, I'll take some more names. So get ready to share. Julie, good morning.
This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. You know, one of the gifts of this meeting is that we read a small section at a time and really stick to the text. But when put with the paragraph before, I want to share that for me, this paragraph is part of the 10-step promises. Some people might label them a warning, but they are also part of the promises. It is easy to let up. We are headed for trouble. This is a promise, if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured. We really have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And even aside from that next part about carrying the vision, I think that's kind of almost like a prelude promise to the 11-step prayers, that these thoughts go with us constantly. That is a promise. They need to go with us constantly. This takes willpower. This takes time. And for me, I was at a very delicate time in my program, just starting to do 10 steps when a fellow came on doing a special edition on his chronic pain. And he had something like 30 years of abstinence, and he still did 5 to 10, 10 steps a day. And that is what's changed my life and kept me out of the food for 2.5 years. Because having gotten recovered, I was feeling blah early in the week, kind of shared it on this meeting, and just made a commitment one day, okay, I got to do just 10 steps every time I just feel it, just the smallest thing. Because as in my disease, my self-reliance, my finite self, I say, oh, I can handle this. Oh, I was good at handling calamity, chaos. After all, I created it all the time. And so today we put down the food. And that's our first daily reprieve. One of my program pieces says for the second step from a different program, in this moment, I realize I'm never alone. I have a new freedom. Believing is also an action, and as I practice it, I develop faith. As I put down that food, it's an action, and I'm developing faith. As I lean in and release my resentments, fears, and guilt, it's an action. As I ask God to remove my defects, it's an action, and I'm developing faith. And every time I do a 10-step, I'm open to God in a new way. That is my spiritual reprieve. I don't know if this spiritual practice means we have to grow in a religion or in 400 hours of meditation. I think we got to do these steps, 10, 11, 12. Each one of them drives us back to our higher power and that we can't do it ourselves. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. So we are on page 85, paragraph 1. Who would like to share?
Santa A.
Melanie C.
Okay. Santa A.
Catherine M.
I heard Donna. I think there was a Melanie, and I heard Catherine M.
Melanie
or Catherine.
Reggie O.
Okay, I got
Donna
you, Reggie,
B.
But I heard somebody else heard the soft
voice. Jordan L.
Okay. There was somebody who was right after Santa H. Who was that?
Courtney M.
Okay, I'm going to try Courtney. I hope I got that's who it was.
And Shlomi Hannah B.
Okay, and Shlomi Hannah B. All right, so, and if I didn't get you, I'm very sorry, but there was a bunch of people chiming in at the same time. Santa H., Courtney M., Catherine M., Reggie O., Jordan L., and Shlomi Hannah B. Good morning, Santa. You'll be
Good
up followed
morning.
By... Good morning. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, my fellows, and happy Friday to everyone, and thank you for your service, especially Team Monday, for making this meeting possible. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful recoverer and recovering compulsive overeater from New Jersey. I sort of like that there, because for me, saying the word I recover was like a badge of honor. It was talked about in in the first meeting at 7 a.m. And I, you know, it's humbling to me to say that I'm recovering because I don't have this. Like it says, I have a daily reprieve. And that daily reprieve is contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. So it means for me that I have to work this my program every single day like I did on day one. And it's not easy. And that's why it says here, it's so easy for me to let up on a program of action. For me, this reminds me of letting up on my 10 steps because it's right near still talking about the 10-step process here. And so it's so easy for me. And when I do, I am headed for trouble. The 10 steps for me is vital. It's like my lifeline today. I have to do it every single day. It's working my program by doing those 10 steps. And for me, it's those built-up emotions that can drive me back into the food. And like it was stated earlier in the meeting, on the 7 a.m. meeting, which I loved, was that a relapse starts long before I pick up the food. And that is so true. When I start disconnecting with my 10-step, no longer doing my 11-step in the morning and evening, and then definitely feel I have no time to do 12 steps, it will be of service to others. And then before I know it, I'm back in the food. And I'm grateful for those experiences when I was back in the food because I can be of service to someone else who had been in relapse as well. But I'm grateful today to be abstinent. I'm grateful today that I am living a life where throughout my day, we read again in the 12th step, where it says, "Thy will not mine be done," and that I continue constantly to go with that thinking and realize that I am now living on God's plans and not on Santa's plans today. And thank you for allowing me to share. And with that, I pass.
Santa H. And Courtney M., you're up, followed by Catherine M. Courtney, good morning. Courtney M., star one to mute, please.
Good morning. This is Courtney M., recovering in Southwest Florida. So this paragraph for me is really interesting because of where I am in working my steps right now. I just have gone through 4 through 8, basically, just this week. So for me, the daily reprieve, I'm really feeling that right now because, you know, getting into that stuff that I have been holding on to for some of a decade, and really kind of opening Pandora's box with all of those old hurts and resentments and anger and all of that I had been carrying around, shame, and somehow getting through that without running back to the food and trying to numb out. And you know, a few times the thought definitely hit me that, oh, I should go have this or I should do that to feel better. But because I have been given instructions through my sponsor and through the Big Book, I've been able to maintain and continually work on my spiritual life through this process so that I don't have to go that route. I don't have to go back to hurting myself. And when the Big Book talks about God's will, doing God's will instead of mine, I know that God's will is not that I pick up something that's going to hurt me. That's not what God wants for me. God doesn't want me to hurt myself any more than I want my kids to hurt themselves. So this is a very poignant paragraph for me right now, and it really hit home, and I just wanted to share that it is possible to get through that stuff that's so painful without making matters worse by hurting yourself intentionally, thinking that it's going to make you feel better because it won't. Or at least it has never done that for me, not in the long term anyway. And with that, I pass.
you, Catherine M. No, that was Courtney. Sorry, Courtney. Catherine M., you're up, followed by Reggie O. Good morning, Catherine M.
Good morning. This is Catherine M., recovering in Kansas. This is my first time sharing, so I have been working the steps in abstinence for about a month now, and it's so funny that we're doing this section because it's kind of like the last share there. When I'm out of the food, you know, another share, Harlan always says that I feel a lot more. Not that I feel a lot more shame. I feel a lot more hurt. I feel a lot. But God or my higher power invites me every day to exercise our will so that we can best serve thee. And it's so funny because I'm working the steps. I'm seeing where my character defects and I'm faced with them. And even when I want to avoid them, like the ways that I've been hurt. So like this morning I received a text from someone I had a resentment against, reminding me of the thing that I was so resentful again. And my higher power just invites me to love, forgive, and serve them every day, just in the smallest ways. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Catherine M. Reggie O., you're up, followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Reggie.
Hey, good morning again, Sherry, and good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. And, you know, I was looking at this, we just went through two amazing groups of promises in the past couple of few days, the ninth step promises and the 10th step promises, which are promising a way of life that is beyond anything I ever dreamed of before I came into program. And then it goes on to say, but it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. And, you know, that's the spiritual program of action that got me here, which is putting down the food first and going through all of the steps, you know, and we're given this solution on a step-by-step basis so that we can live these promises in our everyday life. And I've been, you know, what really comes to me is that I have heard, you know, I have thought this is to be a way of life. And that's what this program says, you know, I have to live this as, and I, not only do I have to, but I have come to so appreciate this way of life where I do have a solution for everything. Where I, you know, like one of the newest things for me is I just, you know, I've started, it's a practice, but it's also becoming more real. I've started assuming God's presence, you know, when I sit down to meditation, I assume God's presence. When I sit down to come into the meeting, it's like I assume God's presence. So it's, you know, all of those first steps 1 through 9 are to clear the path. To clear out the garbage, the gradu, the blocks, whatever it is to my spiritual connection with God and to life. And then 10 is to help me keep it clear. And that's my way of life, you know. And then 11 would go into more about prayer and meditation. But it's, you know, prayer is a way of being, I think, sometimes, you know. I'm not in prayer all the time, but more and more I'm in prayer. You know, it's my connection with God. You know, God, just with me, think through me, act through me, show me what's next. And so I'm just ever so grateful. And it's interesting, you know, there's a prayer in this paragraph. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. That I could have that prayer in almost every moment. How can I best serve you through speaking on this meeting today? And then there are also those two musts, you know, sort of warning statements. Yeah, beautiful promises, and we must carry this vision of God's will into all of our activities, which, you know, in some respects, I'm learning and have learned earlier through the steps, and that's to get a tight, you know, every moment relationship with God to the best of my ability to do God's will, which is loving kindness, making a difference, and to do my best to be of service to other people. I'm certainly not perfect, but, you know, thank goodness I know that I try to make progress every day, and I do, and you know, just a beautiful reminder. It's a daily, you know, it's a way of life, and I do it every day. Thank you.
Thank you, Reggio. Jordan L., you're up, followed by Shlomi Hanna, and we might have room for one more person for a minute or two. Jordan, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Crested Butte, Colorado, and grateful to be on the line with you guys this morning. I like to step 10 a lot. It's been something that that has, I guess, how do I put this, integrated, or I have integrated into my life really, really effectively in the last, like, year or so. And it's been a great deal of help in my program. So the last three paragraphs, that first paragraph is our 10-step directions, right? The next paragraph is our 10-step promises, and today's paragraph is our 10-step warnings. And I think that the last couple of lines, these are the thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. I love that stuff, man. I love that I get my willpower back in this 10-step, you know? Because those first 9 steps, they emptied me out pretty good. And as you guys well know, emptiness is a pretty scary feeling especially when you're a compulsive overeater, right? And they emptied me out. I let go of a lot in those first 9 steps. So in this 10th step, I get my willpower back, and I go out into the world basically. And I start practicing 10, 11, and 12. I start practicing this in my daily life. What I found is that when I'm using my willpower effectively, it creates harmony. And I actually get this from the third step. The third step talks about being a producer of confusion rather than harmony. That's my test these days. If I'm using my willpower properly, it creates harmony. If I'm using it improperly, it's creating confusion. And it's very basic, right? Like, it's pretty simple, that test. But I like it. I like that it's simple because I can be a pretty complicated person. But I get to start being, like, purposeful and useful here. I get to start acting this, taking these actions out in the world around me, at home with my partner. I'll wrap it up. At work with my coworkers, and in the other affairs that I have in my life, right? So anyway, grateful to be here practicing with you guys. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. Shlomi Hanna B., you're up, and I think we'll have time for one more person. Shlomi Hanna, go ahead, please.
All right. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you for the timekeeper. Thank you, everybody, every single person that's on this meeting and that are on all the meetings. Just really, we need each other. So when I was listening to the shares this morning on the 8 o'clock meeting, and I heard a lot of people sharing about the daily reprieve, I had a thought that was a little bit different. I don't know, somebody may have expressed it already. I haven't been able to listen quite as much as I'd like to because my kids are home. But, it is a daily reprieve, obviously contingent upon our spiritual fitness. And this is a day-by-day program. What I did yesterday doesn't count for today. Today is a different day. And I have to really work my program up to the point that I'm in spiritual fitness. But what I was thinking also when I was listening to the shares was that today is a new day. And it is, this program is, only offers a daily reprieve. And that also means to me that it's an opportunity to have a better day. That maybe yesterday was not a great day. Maybe I didn't feel as spiritually fit as I would have liked to. Maybe I didn't work my program up to the level that I would have liked to. And, you know, as addicts, it's very easy to get into the, you know, the self-bashing, the self-shaming of, I didn't do it perfectly, I didn't do it right, I messed up, and to stay focused on that. But this paragraph is making it very clear that this is a day-by-day program. We just have today. And so if I didn't have a great day yesterday, guess what? Today's a new day. And I can start all over today. Every single day is an opportunity, actually. Every day is an opportunity to work my program and to have a new day. And not even only every day, every second, I have an opportunity to be in fit spiritual condition and to be working my program up to the level that I want to be working it. And every second, I have an opportunity to say, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And maybe I messed up yesterday, or maybe I messed up even a second ago, but this program is very much about focusing on the moment and focusing on the day and not getting all wrapped up in remorse and in perfectionism and in self-bashing. It's about moving forward, and that's one of the things that I really love about this program is that it's a very forward-moving program and a very mindful program. And thank you. And that we're thinking about today and this moment and making the best of it and the most of it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Shlomo Hanefi. So we do have time for one more share. Who would like to, anybody have a burning desire that would like to share this morning? Maybe I didn't catch your name.
Annette B.M.
Did you say Annette P.M.?
No, Annette M.
Annette M. Go ahead, Annette.
Thank you. I think that I prefer to call myself a recovering compulsive eater and sugar addict because I'm not there yet. I'm trying to my best, and I'm trying to do all of these steps and work the program, but I feel as though my death will be the time that I'm recovered if I am in this program. So I have to work it daily, as everyone has said, but I tend to term myself recovering, not recovered. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Annette M. And we have time for a two-minute share. Anyone? Anyone like to jump in? Last 2 minutes. And if not, we'll cut it
Bonnie
early.
D.
I'm sorry. Is that Bonnie?
Bonnie D.
Ronnie D. Go ahead, Ronnie.
This is Bonnie with a B.
Bonnie,
in
that's
California.
What I thought you said, Bonnie. Go ahead, please.
Oh, okay.
3 minutes, Bonnie.
So I study what is God's will because I need direction. And this guidance has helped me begin with an as if and then with the spiritual milk like a child is fed when I wasn't ready for the solid food. And then God reveals his insights. A child doesn't understand many dangers, and their parents direct them. I let God do that. I am directed to keep the innocence in regards to evil or poor choices. Some of my food choices were certainly off the beam, not God's will, regarding love. God is love. Now I'm no longer a child needing only the small spiritual milk choices. I have a responsibility to know that I have done away with these childish traits. I have a responsibility to you all too. And that I share by doing God's will one day at a time. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Sherry KB, are you still with us?
Can't hear you, Sherry.
Sherry KB? We might not have Sherry KB. So thanks so much for that last share. It looks like it is time to wrap up. So y'all, let's get ready to close out this meeting, right? And move on to the next thing that we're going to be doing here. Let me grab this up. This is Melanie C.
Thank you, Melanie.
Oh, you're back.
So
okay.
Sorry,
so,
I thought I was muted and unmuted. Anyhow, we'll take the time to thank Team Friday, and then we'll go ahead and ask Jordan L. to read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Jordan?
Good morning again, my fellows. This is Jordan L. in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until.